On the LA Intergroup.
Oh, yeah.
And so as we get to listen to everybody else share tonight, maybe as a topic, I'll give you a couple of them. Why did you come to the retreat? What do you expect to get out of the retreat? That's a good. Those are two good topics. Who would like to start? And we'll pay tag. I'm Mike, compulsive overeater. And my 10th, 12th, I don't know, 14th retreat. And the reason I came up originally is that I've always had a problem getting to enough meetings. There were enough for me, but they weren't enough for anyone who was sponsoring me, and maybe enough for my recovery. So my sponsor a number of years ago said, Mike, going to a retreat is like going to 1,000 meetings. So I thought, the softer, easier way. And so I came up here full of fear and trepidation. And the first night of the sharing, what I discovered is that there were 49 other guys who also had fear. And it was the first time I had been in a room where a bunch of men acknowledged the fact that they often lived in fear. And that just lifted a burden off of me. And just open things up. So that has been just a freeing experience. And then I've come to really love Casa de Maria. So I'm sure that just the thought of it, let alone when I come up the driveway, I bet my blood pressure drops about 30 points. And I've had a lot of good experience here. So I'm not trying to anticipate any particular experience, because each retreat has been a surprise. And then for the last few years, my friend Lee and I have come up here together, and it gives us a chance to connect. We used to work together, but now he lives in Long Beach, I'm in Burbank, so we talk and we do some other things. But you know, we have a chance to really sort of hang out, and then some of you guys, and then you know, then seeing Spencer again. Spencer led a bunch of us the first year I was up here, and I think the second year too, on a hike. And it was the most enjoyable physical activity kind of experience I ever had, because Spencer managed to show us how you can go on something, a bunch of guys, and enjoy the experience and have absolutely no sense of competition or guilt and shame. You've walked as far as you could walk, and then you came back and it was all fine. And the second year, many of us who got some recovery made it to the top of the mountain, and you would have thought the way I was talking about it when I got home, that we had scaled, at least Kilimanjaro, if not something higher. But it was just that kind of experience. So I'm already feeling a bunch better, and looking forward to whatever is being presented here. So thanks.
Thank you.
Yes, sir.
Hi, I'm Dan, compulsive overeater.
Dan.
Hi, everybody. My lovely wife, Randy, who's also in OA, said, Dan, don't isolate when you go there, because that's what I have the tendency to do. So I wanted to make sure I stood up in front of you all and said, I don't want to isolate, so I hope to get to know all of you a little better. Also, my abstinence has been slipping away. I know I don't look terribly overweight, but I miss being, I feel like I know I'm like 10 pounds over the weight I want to be, but more than that, I feel the sort of the principles, the belief that got me here, and also into AA, I feel like it's slipping through my fingers. And I'm missing something essential in my life. And I need to grab a hold of that again and try and bring it into my heart and make this much more a part of my life. Because I'm just letting it drift. And I know I'll feel much better if I do that. And I don't know about Serenity. This dog out here is driving me nuts. I don't know. I actually went to complain about it, and they don't know whose dog it is. I want to ask one other question. Where's that schedule? I saw the schedule back there. Along with the... There's one here? Okay. Well, anyway, that's it. Thanks very much. Who's next? Yes, hi. Come on up. What? No.
There's one on the door. My name is Henry. I'm a compulsive reader, alcoholic, and a pothead.
Hi, Henry.
And this is the second time I've had the privilege of being here. And I came here last year because my sponsor had been gently encouraging me for many years to come. And he was the presenter. And I don't know if this really happened or not, but he claims that the presenter doesn't pay, so he got his money back, and there was a free retreat, and he said, I want you to come, I want you to go there. And Don and I drove up together, and I didn't want to. And then I came last year, and I got to be with a bunch of really wonderful men, and I grew a lot, and I learned a lot, and I'm a better person for it. I've been in relapse. Things have been going backwards instead of forward. But I know that in program I have to dust myself off and continue on the journey because there is no other option. And also, I'm here because I have a lifetime commitment to program. It's something that I know I need. I need to work on my body, my mind, and my spirit. And I would like to share something, if I may. I have a brother who is schizophrenic and lives in a boarding care home, and I'm his caretaker. I mean, he lives in the boarding care home, but I manage his money, and I love him. And he was supposed to go get his blood drawn today, and I just got a phone. I just called home a few minutes ago that he's in the hospital because he's hearing voices, and he's thinking somebody's going to kill him. And his mental illness is very strong. So in that situation, I think I want to go run away, right? There's a vending machine next door. So what do? What does program teach me? I come, I tap my sponsor on the shoulder, he takes me outside, I tell him what's going on, he gives me a hug, tells me you can't do anything for your brother except put him in God's hands, he's right where he's supposed to be. And I've only heard that 50,000 times, but I need to hear it again, thank you, Donald. And then I came in here and I said, let me be open to the message. So that's what I'm here to do. And I'm really looking forward to meeting the guys. I always have anxiety about being around groups of men because I never learned to like wrestle and jostle and like hoo-hoo and kind of do those kinds of things. But a lot of guys, I never played basketball and had the pickup game. And I'm 53 and I may never be that kind of guy. So this is really good for my socialization. And I'm really glad to be here, and thank you.
All right, Henry.
So I'm Dave, and this is my second retreat also.
Hi, Dave.
And, I came because, I'm still fairly new to this program. And one of the great joys of the program last year was just several of us rode up on the train, and I got a chance to have long conversations and meetings, and that was really great today because I know I'm getting to know some of you better. I'm really here to get to know all of you. I was actually hoping that, because last year this fellow was here, I met Father Frank would be here. I guess he couldn't be here today because I haven't been to confession for 7 years, and I really hope that. I've been struggling. My doctors told me that for a 61-year-old, you're in fairly good health, but you really need to lose 20 pounds. And my diet is really very poor to try to do that. And I used to make it up with exercise, and I've been able to get into that again. But I really need to address the whole issue of planning meals. And the last thing I wanted to say, because I heard someone say this, is that, I was thinking that it's really great to be with guys that, as we say in our meeting on Sunday mornings in San Diego, we meet but we don't compete. Because I know in my profession, I have gotten so enraged at other people, other men, that, I just couldn't even express it or grapple with it because, whatever, the competition, their ideas are winning and I'm not winning and my ideas aren't accepted and, you know, this is going to be good. And this is something I've been really struggling with, which has fed my addiction. You know, I don't stay at the company. I don't bring my lunch. I run away to a restaurant and I spend a lot of money. And the other issue I'm having in OA, and it was kind of interesting because a couple years ago I came up to the OA birthday and I actually met another person that had the same addiction, is that I spend too much money on food eating in restaurants. And it's just, it's been bad for me. It's been bad for my relationships. You know, my marriage is good, but, you know, if I'm out eating at restaurants, I'm not eating at home with my wife. So, you know, these are things I'm struggling with, and I appreciate that you guys plan this and get together. And thank you for letting me
share. Thanks, Dave.
Hi, everybody. My name is Don, and I'm an alcoholic and a compulsive overeater.
Hi, Don.
It's so good to see you again. I came up here because I've been here several times, and I just love it. I mean, I just feel as though my as I like to say, my spiritual condition gets better just being with all of you and being here. As Dan said, my program has gotten a little bit loose, and I picked up a few pounds. And just lately, I realized I talk about red light, yellow light, and green light foods, and I may have veered into the yellow light zone a few times. But I realized what my problem is that I haven't been really, really careful about the portions. And so I got out the measuring cup and the scale, and I've started doing it. Now, I'm not going to take those to a restaurant, but I will indeed do it at home. And or at least get the measuring cup out and look and see what a cup looks like and see what this portion looks like. And I'm very proud to say that I threw away a plate with some food on it at the end of tonight's meal. I was taught to finish every plate of food. If it was this tall and that big around, I was taught to do it. And for many years I did. But the main reason that I'm here is because of getting to know so many of my San Diego fellow compulsive overeaters and so many of you guys whom I have met and really felt connected with. The other thing I want to say on a personal level, I know Dan for 25 years. In New York, he and his wife and me and my partner used to go to Trinity Church and sing Christmas carols on Christmas Eve. I mean, it's a wonderful thing to have old friends that you are with, and there are so many of you who are old friends, maybe not quite to that extent, but who are here, and we can just bond and get to know each other better and just have a wonderful time. And I wouldn't miss this thing for anything. I missed it once, and it was only because some of my best friends from New York were coming in to a wedding on the weekend of this, and I couldn't say come next weekend because it was a wedding. It was their 45th wedding anniversary, and I had stood up with them in their wedding. So it was very important to see them. Anyway, I'm just delighted to be here, and I'm so glad to see all of you. Thanks all so right. much for having me.
Take the first guy right out there.
Hey, I'm Rich
Paul's
over here.
Amen.
Thank you to Rex, and thank you, Jim, both for sharing. Great way to kick it off. And I just, with Jim, while you were sharing, where's Jim?
Did Jim leave?
Oh, there you are. Just very quickly, you reminded me of something I had never shared with any, even my sponsor or my closest friends. You talked about the supermarket and being able to eat while you're in the supermarket. And in one of my most recent relapses, there's too many to count, but this is maybe 3 months ago, I had done that. And I had so many half-empty bags. I was so full of shame, I couldn't go up to the checker. And they have the automated machines. And I'm like, oh, I'm a genius. I'm going to scan myself and pay, and I don't have to see anybody. And I scan the bag of candy, and beep, fine. And I put it in the bag, and it says, call the attendant. And I don't know why. And I realize the way that those systems work is they know the weight of each item that you've scanned. And if it isn't the proper weight in the bagging area, you're trying to cheat them. So the guy had to come over. Actually, yeah, the guy had to come over to almost every single. Okay, the Cheetos. Yeah, okay, clear it. Up the cashews. Okay, clear it. The most miserable, depressing part of my relapse. I love the question, why am I here? Here's why I'm here. I've been in program for a little over 11 years. I currently have like 40 days of abstinence, and I'm just at the end of my rope. You know, and I'm not the guy who goes out for a year and then comes back for a year. I'm the guy who, and you know, one of my former sponsors is here. I do 90 days, binge for a week. 30 days, binge for a week. 4 months, binge for a week. Over and over and over and over again, and I'm just at the end of my rope, and I just feel like, because most of my time in program has been in abstinence on a healthy food plan, I'm not 300 pounds. I'm not 350 pounds, but I'm the same weight I was 11 years ago when I walked in these doors, and I've gotten so many gifts out of program, but I'm just getting at the end of my rope, and I've been trying so hard to figure out why I can't get what so many of my peers have. And it's either surrender on a fundamental level, or it's finding a higher power, because I came an atheist and I've never really been able to quite grab what you guys have. And I don't know what it is, but I just, to me, coming here is going to any lengths. This is just, I didn't want to come. I'm now desperate enough in program that I no longer have the fear of I'm not going to know people and it's going to be awkward and am I going to be the youngest guy and who am I going to bunk with. Now my fear was it's going to be a waste of time. I'm going to leave and I'm not going to get anything. So I'm just really excited. I'm going to lean on people who have what I don't have. I'm going to ask questions. I'm going to be annoying. I'm going to get out of my comfort zone of wanting to hang back, because the most important thing I could leave here with is surrender and a higher power, and I'm just really hoping that through this process and through you guys, I can get it from you. Thanks.
Right, I've been informed I'm going on this side too much, so I'm going to start over here. Matt.
Happy to be on stage.
Hi, I'm Matt, a compulsive overeater. And I came into program a year and a half ago. Sometimes I wish I would have found it before, but I found it when the time was right. And this was the first retreat I came to. So just like I have a home meeting in San Diego, this feels like my home retreat. I've been to several since, but this is a great one. And I'm here because I'm supposed to be here. I wasn't really paying attention to who the leaders were going to be. But I think I've already been given a gift here in this retreat, because I was telling Rex earlier tonight that when I came into program, the first speaker meeting I went to where a guy talked was a meeting where Rex talked. And it made a huge impact on me as a guy to hear a guy-oriented story. And, you know, and I laughed and I cried and I identified with a lot of it. And, you know, it kept me coming back another day. And just last week, I was traveling to a remote part of New Hampshire where there weren't any OA meetings to be had. And so I grabbed a whole bunch of Light a Candle podcasts to take with me. And the last one I listened to was Jim's. This meant to happen. This meant to be here. I didn't know him. I don't go to LA meetings. But as soon as he opened his mouth, I'm like, oh, I've heard this before. And it was good. So thanks so much. Thank you. Thank you both for being here and doing service this weekend. And, I committed a couple weeks ago to do 90 and 90. So if a retreat is worth 1,000 meetings, I'm already done. Thank you very much.
Steve.
I'm back up here again this year because I'm trying to do the things that are right. And this is 20 years. I came to my first retreat here 20 years ago. That was a long time ago. I think I've missed two in that whole period, and those two were the worst years. So regardless of whether I'm abstinent or not, or down 100 pounds or not, I still come here. Although I have to admit, when my sponsor, Gil, said that he wasn't going to be here this year, I thought, I'm free. I don't have to go. That was pretty short-lived. But Jim, you said something that made me really, really think deep, and that was when you mentioned Scott Redmond. Scott was a very good friend and a sponsor of mine, and Scott's gone now. And Bill Durth was a sponsor of mine, and Bill's gone now. And Irving Goldman was a sponsor of mine, and he passed away this year. And, you know, all of the men that are important in my life are here, or we're here from this room. And that's why I come. It's just the most important thing there is for me. I'm just, you know, this place is just so special. The retreats are always awesome, no matter what my head said when I walked into this, you know, this retreat on Friday night. I always leave better. So it's like, you know, I've never left an OA meeting feeling worse than I did when I walked in. So it's the same thing here. So that's why I'm here. Glad to see these faces. Did Spence already bail out of here? Is he already gone? Good to see Spencer again. And good to see the new guys. So looking forward to a great retreat. Thanks.
All right.
Oh. I just want to say one more thing. Got an email from Paul Harn. He was here last year. He's in Kandahar, Afghanistan. And he's a civil engineer. He's working on a military base. And he just wanted to make sure I gave everybody a shout out. He's really missing the team here and hopes to be home soon. But he's down 30 pounds. Been a good spiritual practice. So I just wanted to share that with you guys.
Thanks.
Hi, I'm Rob H. I'm a compulsive overeater.
Hi, Rob.
And I came from Maryland. I got up this morning at 2 o'clock your time to get here, so I'm a little tired right now. But I've been in OA 16 years this month, and I came in weighing 427 pounds. I'm about 100 down from that right now. And I'm coming out of quite a bit of a relapse. I've got about 60 days. And I'm very grateful, a little over 60 days, I'm very grateful for that. But it's been a very cunning, baffling, and powerful relapse, very slow. You know, in the past, whenever I've had a relapse before, it's always been, you know, our disease is very progressive. And it'd be like, you know, I pick up one thing, and the next day I'm back at McDonald's three times a day. And this time, that didn't happen. It was just a little bit here and a little bit here. And really, that kind of like justifying, well, it's not as bad as it used to be. Well, that not as bad as it used to be put on almost 70 pounds. You know, over the course of a year and a half or so. And why am I here? Because I heard about the meeting on a men's phone meeting. One of you all just came on and said, oh, yeah, there's a men's retreat. And I was like, I want to go. And my wife said, well, let's figure out how to do that. You know, and the state, D.C., where I'm from, I live in Maryland, but it's right outside of D.C., used to have a real strong men's presence. But it's kind of, there's still a meeting. But there's not a lot of recovery there for men. There's some good, strong OA in Northern Virginia and Maryland. But my group of men that have been part of my recovery is really kind of broken up. And I'm here basically because I need male fellowship in OA. I mean, I you know, got an awful lot from an awful lot of women in program, and I'm not trying to put them down in any way, shape, or form. You know, build if somebody throws you a life preserver, you know, and if you're drowning, and you go, oh, no, wait a minute, I need a white Christian male who's lost 100 pounds, you know, I want somebody like me, you know. I've learned that I can grab a life preserver from anybody, but I do really want to kind of strengthen my male fellowship, and I don't care if you're 3 hours away or, you know, by phone or halfway across the country or all the way across the country. I hope I can offer you something, and that you can offer that back to me. And the one thing I really want to do this weekend is put aside all the stuff that I think I know. I just really want to be open and listen to what's presented here. So thanks.
That's wonderful.
Thanks.
Then Leonard. After him, Leonard. Gabriel.
Hi, I'm Gabriel. I'm a food addict.
Hi, Gabriel.
Compulsive overeater. Just pig in general. Just to give you some numbers, great to see many familiar faces. my top weight is 400. My weight, low weight after that is 160. In between there, I've put on 100 pounds at least 8 times. It boils down to I eat to die. That's the way I eat. I shove it in, and I can't stop. And just when I think I've got it, you know, 160 to 200, I lose it. Or I give it up. So I thought I'd share a story because it's a perfect example of my response to life and why I think have lived most of my life in morbid obesity. So I keep a very clean car. I have all kinds of rags. I'm cleaning, waxing, buffing, whatever. So I was on my knee in my apartment complex, and this woman from across the way starts yelling out to me, really broken Ukrainian or Russian, I don't know which. You can't do that here. Loud, like in a really angry tone. You can't use all those chemicals, and you do this every day. You need to stop, whatever. I didn't know how to process those things, how to react to that. So I said nothing, right? And already I started building hatred for this woman. So I thought I'd give her a few weeks to cool off. I come back. A lot of it fear, right? So I come back, and I'm doing it again. And this time she goes out of her apartment, comes up along, driving, stomping toward me. And I'm on my knee. I'm cleaning a tire. And she walks close to me and has her finger in my face and, again, is saying, you can't do this. And this time I say, I'm not going to take it. You know, so I say, shut your mouth and get out of here. She kept going. I don't think she understand the imp- and I used some, you know, some curse words. I don't think she understood the impact of that and what I, you know, the manner in which I was saying it. Anyway, I say, look, if you don't get out of here, I'm going to call the police. Well, her daughter, who lives right above me, leans over the balcony and starts yelling to her, like, go, you, to her own mother, you need to go. Later, the daughter's husband comes down and apologizes to me. And again, this is ball of hatred, right? Like, already I'm thinking I want to throw a grenade into her window, like, and kill her. That's instantly, A to B. That's what it is. I go to the landlord. We hit it off. I had never met him before. He takes me under his wing. Oh, she has no right to do that. All on my side, right? Right is on my side. I'm being validated to this. I have been battling with her in my head since the day it happened. It's now two and a half weeks. I am just as angry as if it would have happened 5 minutes ago. This is a classic example of how I respond to everything. This is why I eat. You know, various versions of anger and fear, etc. And that's why I'm here. I want to learn how to change that. And not just change it for the moment, but change it for the long term, right? I don't think I'll ever get to a goal weight or close to it and then stay there without fixing this really damaged part of me for whatever reason, whatever caused it. So that's what I'm looking forward to. Thanks.
All right.
Hi, Larry.
So this duck walks into a liquor store and looks up and says, got any condoms? The manager looks at him, sorry, no. Next day, sure enough, same time, same duck walks in again, looks up, says, got any condoms? Liquor store guy, no, I think I saw you yesterday, no. Duck walks out. Third day, duck comes in, got any condoms? Now the liquor store guy's getting pretty pissed off. He says, no, and if you come in here again, I'm going to nail your damn wet feet to the floor. Sure enough, next day, same time, duck comes in. Got any nails? No. Got any condoms? I don't think that duck got it, and I think that's one of my problems. I have been in the program for 23 years. This is, I think, my 12th or 13th. I don't know. You could probably tell me. We came in together, Steve, didn't we? 13th? Yeah, I think I missed 1 year on a vacation, so I've been here 13 years minus one. 12 years. And I'm still struggling with really how to hold my abstinence and not eat, especially at night where I have my problem. Someone was mentioning about being a night eater. I think it was Jim, right?
and that meant a lot to me because that's where I eat and sit down with my wife, and we watch television, and that's when the food starts coming, and it's just really hard for me to stop. And if you said, you know, why are you eating? One, because I'm medicating myself, and two, because I'm probably scared to die. It's probably those two big things. So the program is helping me fill a big, big hole, a hole of fear, a hole of trying to surrender to God and still struggling with that. And I've made some progress. I'm holding about 40 pounds off, but I find myself, as I'm getting older, getting more fearful of aging. I'm taking more prescription drugs for this malady and that malady, and it scares me. And what I'd like to do is get off the artificial and get on the spiritual. And I think, Jim, when you talked about making your higher power your friend and taking him to dinner with you, and I think that's really meant a lot to me, because I think that's what I need to do more, and bring my higher power to my life every day. And I'm grateful to be here, and I'm hoping I can enlarge my spiritual life with all of you this weekend. Thank you, and I look forward to talking to you.
My name is Paul. I'm a compulsive overeater.
So I'm here because I used to weigh over 400 pounds. Exactly how much over 400, I don't know. I stopped weighing right around there, and this morning I weighed 199 pounds. So I've released a lot of weight, but it doesn't have anything to do with that. What this program has helped me see is that before I just numbed out with everything, whether it be food, gambling, sex, it buying shit, I mean, whatever it was, you know, I dealt with it with things that could numb me out. And now I have found things that actually will serve me and take care of me. 2 days ago I had surgery on my chest. And it was a little bit more complicated than it should have been. Instead of a 20-minute procedure, it was over an hour, and it hurt. And yesterday I got a call from the nurse, and she was like, "You forgot your pain medication script." And I said, "No, I didn't. I don't need it. Thank you." And I didn't. You know, I've been on those medications before. Sure, it hurt, but I don't want anything in my body anymore that's going to numb me out. And I put a little ice pack on it. And I'm you know, my sponsor had invited me to kind of come to this thing, and I knew that I was going to have that surgery. And next Friday, I've got an even more serious surgery. They're going into both my legs, and it's going to be a 4-hour procedure. And it's going to be rough. But I've been asked to speak 4 days later, and guess what? I'm getting out of bed and I'm going. Because that's the next right thing to do. Because that's my medicine. Because that's what it takes. It is going to any lengths to keep your abstinence, to be of service, and to be present with God and with your program. So thank you.
Thank you. We want to hear from everybody, so the people that haven't shared, jump right up there.
Pull the mic down or my pants?
Or stand on a chair or one of the TVs. No, keep your pants on.
Pull my pants down, that's a little too graphic, right? I'm Steve, I'm a compulsive overeater.
Hi, Steve.
The reason we're here at the microphone is that my sponsor said I better get my ass up here and come here, and I think that's a pretty good idea. The other reason was that if you just get some exercise and walk across the room. Anyway, I've been coming to Overeaters Anonymous for about 6 years, but I've only got about 2.5 years of abstinence and about 175 pounds of weight loss, and I've got a ways to go. I've got a ways to go, but the reason why I'm on these retreats is I can't live without them. I think the measure of what's important, and I don't know how the rest of you feel about it, is it's not really about weight. It's not really about money in your pocket. I mean, there's some beautiful homes out here and there's some beautiful other stuff, but some people get born into money. Some of us make a lot of money. Some of us have simple means, and we tend to measure a lot of that stuff, color of skin and stuff. But I guess right down to it, I think one of the things that we all get a certain measure of is time. And that measure of time and how we spend it and how we invest it is perhaps one of the most objective measures. And all of us have decided to chisel out this many hours and come out here. And some have come from Maryland. I've just come up from L.A. But the point being, for me to get this much time and take it out and come up here was absolutely essential. I was planning to come up last year, and I missed it. And the reason being is I had a dear friend of mine, my closest friend, died, and they decided to have that funeral right on that weekend, and I was had to, you know, more or less officiate it. Reality is though, that I can't live without it, and I need what this room has. I need you guys, the power of this disease. I've been hiding out all my life. I'm not that young anymore. I need the energy, the support. I need to say yes. I need to say yes a lot. I need to listen. I don't want to say yes to a lot of the stuff that I'm going to hear, but I'm going to have to. And so I am very proud to have said yes to this amount of time. I'm so glad that all of you have said yes to take this much time out and spend it together. And that's why I'm here. And what I'm planning on getting out of this weekend is a surprise. Who knows what's going to happen, but I know this. I'm going to feel a hell of a lot better on Sunday afternoon when I go out of here. And I'm going to be a lot better charged up. And I will be back. This is the first time I've made this retreat, but I've been to the Allegra retreat a lot, and I believe in retreats an awful lot. Thanks.
All right.
There you go. Hi, Michael. I'm a compulsive overeater.
Hi, Michael.
I really, truly did not want to share, and I've learned enough over time to know that the times when I really don't want to share are the times when I really need to share. So the reason I'm here is because the last two weekends I have hidden in my room and eaten cookies and read fantasy. And it's because there's a tremendous amount of change going on in my life. And I am embarking on that change in the weekdays, and on the weekends I find myself utterly terrified by the change that's occurring. A lot of things happening. Going back to graduate school at age 53, stopping the work that I've been doing for the last 12 years, separating from a wife of 25 years, moving down into the bottom of our house, and moving through a divorce. So a tremendous, you might call it a midlife change extraordinaire. And I'm proud of myself, and it's the right thing to do. It's nothing that came out of nowhere. It's something that's been building for years. At the same time, there's a part of me, as I said, that's really truly terrified and is hiding out. And I need to find a more effective way. And I've been in OA long enough to know that this is where the answers lie. And to understand clearly that the way forward is one step at a time, but I do need a higher power and I do need program and a fit spiritual condition in order to take the next step. So, thanks for letting me share.
Thank you.
So my name's Tim. I'm a compulsive overeater. I actually heard about this retreat a few years ago. I was at the OA 50th birthday celebration about 2 months into my having come back to OA, about 100 pounds heavier than I am now. I met someone. I don't recognize anyone in the room, but I met someone that was saying great things about this retreat, and so I'd always sort of stored that away in the back of my mind. And I don't remember if I got an email or if I saw it on a website or something, but when I saw, oh, the retreat was happening, I'm all, you know, I got to go this year because I've been thinking about it. I've had a lot of stuff going on in my life. I'm currently separated from my wife, so starting to work my way back. And a lot of that has been around things due to my addiction. Not necessarily the food, though that's been part of it, but the insanity. For me, I come to OA and listen and talk to my higher power and write and read and do the things I need to do every day. I do it for the food. I do it to make sure that my head is clear and that I'm not grabbing stuff that I shouldn't. But I got a long way to go on the insanity. I got a long way to go on making good decisions. I got a long way to go on knowing what my feelings are and knowing how to respond to other people. So I'm here. I mean, one of the reasons I think this for me is great is as someone else shared, you know, being with a group of men, is just different. I'm fortunate that my home meeting, there do tend to be more men than are a lot of meetings of LA, where I live. I thought this would just be a really great experience. And so I'm looking forward to what y'all have to share. So thanks.
Thank you.
Hi, I'm Mark. I'm a compulsive overeater.
Hi, Mark.
And let's see, I been coming to OA since 2001. This is my, I think it's my eighth retreat, even though I wasn't here last year, so it's great to be back. I always get something out of this retreat. And I love the question that Dave put forth to us. You know, I don't want to get all these big expectations, but I just want to remain teachable. You know, and I've learned a lot of things in OA over the years, but I just don't want to look at that. I just want to come here and just have a fresh outlook on things and see what I could learn and try to get through the weekend and get a lot more grounded, calm my mind. Get a little more spiritual touch with my higher power that I have been having a inconsistency, especially over the last year, and kind of like how my food is too, the inconsistency and my problems primarily lie in portion control, and so I'm glad to hear something about that tonight, and it's great to see a lot of guys that I've seen over the years here, and I look forward to meeting some new guys. And thank you, Jim and Rex, for your shares, and I look forward to the retreat overall. Thanks.
Thank you. Am I blind or am I missing a hand? There you go. Couldn't see.
I'm Paul, and I'm a compulsive overeater.
Hi, Paul.
And I wandered into Alcoholics Anonymous about 31 and a half years ago, and about a month later, I wandered into this leper colony. Been here ever since, hanging out with you guys. Well, not with you guys, mostly with gals. One of the reasons I came is I had never been to a men's retreat in OA. In San Luis Obispo, there's one other guy. And in most of the places I've lived throughout the country, there haven't been a large amount of men. And originally, when I came into AA, I was told I should go to a men's stag meeting, and I did that. I went once or twice, and I realized there were no women there, and I could see no reason to ever go back. And when I moved to San Luis, there's a men's stag meeting that I attend on a regular basis and have for about 8 or 9 years, but I went to it, and I forced myself to go for a year. And I thought to myself, this sucks. And I don't know who it was. Harry, is it? What your name?
Henry.
Henry, you described it, that being able to scratch your balls and talk about the Yankees and talk about NASCAR, I can't do it. Can't do it. It makes me absolutely crazy to do that with a group of guys. I never learned to do that. I grew up with guys, and it was a conflict. It was a conflict. We carried weapons and knives, and it was a world of insanity, and mostly guys were a problem. And so I had never been comfortable with that. When I came into the fellowship, I was told to go to a big book study every week and go to a 12 and 12. And I know the reasoning behind that. 22 years into this journey, on a Tuesday night, 7:30, I'm reading from the 12 and 12. And on page 53 in the 12 and 12, it says the primary fact of Paul's life is his inability to form a true partnership with another human being. And there it was. There was the thing I had been looking for. There was an old man in Laguna Beach used to talk about that you would do this journey, you would do this search, and one day this thing would happen and life would begin. That's what happened for me. Stayed here long enough, and there it was. I knew what the problem was. Not that it hadn't been sex, and not that it hadn't been food, and not that it hadn't been all these other addictions that came to the forefront in my life after I got here. But at 22 years into this journey, I knew what it was. It was the relationships. Anyway, so on Tuesday night, for the last 8-9 years, I attend a men's stag meeting from 5:30 to 6:30. And on Friday night, I do that. And I can tell you that the first 2 or 3 years, I just sat on my hands. I was uncomfortable. I thought it sucked. And what's happened out of that, there's a thing, if you ever read The Keys to the Kingdom in the big book, I used to read that thing and cry. Because when it was going to happen for me, when was I going to have a host of friends, when was I going to have a group of people in my life? I've got a half a dozen guys, 30 years of age, that I sponsor and that I work with as the years have gone by. These guys take me out, they drag the old man with them, we go on hikes. I get to watch them get married, I get to watch them have kids, I get to watch them struggle and fall down flat on their face, be insane and do all the things that I did when I was their age, and I feel alive and I feel fantastic. I'm 57 years old. I'm so glad my life, I could have missed it all. And that's not what's happened. I can't imagine being any other person. I can't imagine being any other place. I can't imagine doing any other thing than being who I am right now with you guys. So thanks.
All right. There you go.
Yeah.
Hi, Chris.
I'm also an anorexic and bulimic. I've been coming to Overeaters Anonymous since November 22, 2001. My abstinence date is July 28, 2002. I used to weigh at least 437 pounds with a 66-inch waist. This is the only thing I've ever done that's lasted this long. My hair is gray, not black, what you see. I've colored it because I'm in a play, and I wanted to make sure before the show opened in October that we didn't find out at the last minute I'd have to use that crazy spray stuff. But I come to this thing and I'm thinking, am I inauthentic because this is not the color of my hair, you know? Because I know there's people here who've known me for years, and they know that my hair just doesn't look like this. But other people are like, hey, it looks good. It doesn't even look fake, you know? And I'm like, I don't want to be fake. And I felt a lot of times around then that I was, that I had to be something that I wasn't, trying to fit in, you know? Married for 29 years, father of 3 kids, a lot of tragedies in my life. And this week, you know, I can blow things out of proportion, you know? My family and I went to South Carolina. We were on the 19th floor of a beautiful hotel, 2-bedroom suite. I was alone in the room, my family had gone down, and then an incident occurred on the beach. I couldn't get down there fast enough, but there was a woman about 5 feet tall. She looked like she weighed close to 300 pounds, just kind of waddling through the waves, and the waves knocked her down into the wet sand on her knees, and she could not get up, not for her life. Some other very heavy-set girl tried to help her. I think it was her daughter. couldn't get her up. Then another young man came, then a lifeguard, then a second lifeguard. They couldn't move her. Third lifeguard, fourth lifeguard, finally. This is all in like 2.5 minutes. You know, they can't let the woman there. She's not going to drown. She's in a very shallow part. But they finally got her up. And I thought, how humiliating. That was me trying to use a toilet in a public restroom and having to go to the N1 against the cement brick wall so that I could use my arm, you know, my shoulder leaning into the wall to reach around my massive body to try to take care of myself. I don't want to talk about stuff like that. But, you know, a lot of people use the phrase, take what you like and leave the rest. I need to take what I need and leave the rest, because if I take what I like, I might leave something I need. So I heard about this retreat. I had some airline miles that were going to expire in December. This is August. They're burning a hole in my pocket. I'm like, hey, free flight to California. I don't like the flight to California from Illinois, 4.5 hours, and it was delayed because of storms. But I didn't get all upset about it. I didn't want to rip someone's face off because God made it rain. You know, I need my higher power. My higher power is awesome. And I don't even understand him all the time. The God of my understanding is hard to understand. But I made it here. I'm glad I'm here. I don't even know what I'm looking for out of this weekend. But I do know this. OA is important to me. And people can tell what's important to me by what I spend my time on. The reason we got this vacation in South Carolina really cheap was because we went to a timeshare presentation. Now, for me, abstinence is the most important thing in my life without exception. And the guy asked this woman as he's trying to sell us some property, and he's like, excuse me, Mrs. So-and-so, what are the three most important things in your life? And she said, family, health, relaxation. And he said, and you, sir? I said, the most important thing in my life is God-given abstinence from compulsive overeating. Then my family, and then being of service to other people. And I noticed he had a pot belly, and he was very overweight. And he had a stroke in March, he told me. And I'm like, you know what? I've been there. I haven't had a stroke, but I've struggled with this weight issue and the disease process and all the things that happen. But he asked me, so how'd you do it? What'd you do? And I told him. I said, really, I've got to put that first, because without it, I don't have those other things. I need to remember that. Thank you.
My name is Lee. I'm a compulsive overeater. Well, I came here because my food right now sucks. Although, by the way, you know, if somebody asked me what was the three most important things, I would have said food, food, and food. You know, but I don't want to weigh 400 pounds. I come to this retreat every year. And I really, really didn't want to come this year. First of all, I was ashamed. Because, you know, I've been off my abstinence. I'm way off, you know. I mean, just totally out of control. And I'm not, you know, most of the time I can do some semblance of control. And I'm also an Alcoholics Anonymous. And it's my birthday tomorrow. And it's my 40th sober birthday. And so I want to go get chips and, you know, and hang out and get all those accolades and, you know, what a good job I've done. And but then I'm thinking, but I don't have my abstinence, you know. I mean, you know, program is program, you know. I mean, I can, you know, do I claim abstinence with against alcohol and drugs and then yet I'm shoving food in with both hands. So I came here this weekend, you know, one, knowing that it was the right thing to do. The other thing that I have a bad back, so I get, you know, really scared about, you know, different beds, and I'm allergic to cigar smoke, so I can't breathe if I get around it, and, you know, every year we get more and more and more cigar smokers up here, so, you know, the air gets a little funky, and that bugs me. But I knew that, you know, what I'm going to say is, you know, I was so excited because, you know, when Dave told me it was his birthday, I was going to give him my old chip, right? You know, my old sobriety chip. And he says, well, I don't take chips. Well, that pissed me off. Because I'm excited about mine, you know. I'm sorry, I am, you know. But the thing I'm hoping for, and maybe I've been thinking a lot about this 40 years, you know, that I've been sober. And I'm 64 years old. And the... it's like a new beginning. You know, 40 seems to be a number of new beginnings. You know, and that's kind of what I'm looking for in this retreat. You know, and I heard a lot of great things, you know, this evening that reminded me of what recovery is about. You know, things like no human power can remove my obsession. You know, and I have to remember that. So I'm kind of looking for a new beginning here, you know, for this weekend, and I appreciate you guys all being here, and it's great to see new friends and old friends. Thanks.
All right.
I needed to. Yeah,
I'm Steve. I'm a compulsive reader.
I
didn't want to share as well here, and I know that's the time when I most need to. This is my, I think, 13th consecutive retreat, but I feel extremely disconnected this year, and so I definitely knew I had to get up here tonight and share and just, you know, talk that through. I've been coming to this retreat. It's fantastic. I'm, first of all, very stoked at all the new guys. There was a lot of talk over the last month or so about a lot of the guys that weren't going to be coming, and I miss them. But, you know, I'm very, very stoked that this retreat, you know, continues to get new people and we continue to talk about it. I'm feeling just kind of out of it. You know, if Father Frank was here, I guess I would confess that it's been at least since 6 months since my last meeting. That's not to say that I've gone off the deep end. My weight is probably a little lower than it was last year, and it had gone up, at least first part, due to depression medication that really had knocked me out. But that's kind of become an old excuse after, you know, a year or two of being on it. You kind of need to make the adjustment. And I heard a lot of things tonight that I needed to hear, especially about exercise and depression and what that does. And I went up to the top of the hill. I've been doing that every year that I come. This is probably one of the hardest years of making it up because the guy that usually, you know, half drags, half pushes me up there didn't come. But I didn't know he was coming until, you know, a week ago. And I didn't know Irving died. And, you know, I didn't know a lot of other things as far as the connection with this, even with this group, which I kind of have ad hoc consider my home group because my home group of men just ended the meeting, the men's meeting that we had going on. And not that I had resentment about it, but it's kind of become one of those things of, that one's not there anymore, you know, I don't like the timing of this one, that one's too early, I don't like the group of that one, and, you know, that's all crap, and I know it's crap, and I need to kind of get back into the group because, as I was reminded tonight, I don't, because of my 13 years or whatever, or because I keep myself physically, or spiritually fit at least, if not physically fit, I don't have 6 months of abstinence, and I've been totally living on borrowed time here. I get one day of abstinence, and I need to take action, you know, here, and take action when I get back home to continue to stay spiritually fit and, you know, get myself physically fit as well. So I just needed to get up here and say that. Appreciate all you guys that show up every year. Appreciate all the guys that are taking the chance and come here and don't feel like there's that many clicks because half of us don't know at least the other half. So I look forward to meeting a lot of new folks today or tonight, this weekend.
Thanks, Steve.
Gee, I could have gotten away without sharing. If only I had known. I'm Vincent. I'm a compulsive overeater.
Hi, Vincent.
Hi. Hello, everybody. How did I find this about this retreat this weekend? I went to my first Overeaters Anonymous group 2 months ago. I guess I've been putting off the food issues for a long, long, long time. I was a fat kid, and came to notice that painfully through my peers. Just before hitting adolescence, early adolescence. And then I became bulimic and anorexic. Stopped doing that at 32 years of age. To make a very long story short, what used to be a binge a month recently became a binge every 2 weeks, which then became a binge a week, and then it was one day after another. And it frightened me. It really frightened me. Thank goodness I found and belong to a couple of other 12-step programs before coming into this one, Codependence Anonymous and Alcoholics Anonymous. So I'm really familiar with that feeling of desperately doing anything to run from my feelings. I know when that switch is on for me. It's been on for quite some time. And it's time to do something about it. I'm desperate for tools. I would expect that... I've never been at a retreat before. But I would expect that this is a way to immerse myself. And it's what I need to do. I think I'd have to be really, really, really... what's the word? Dense. I'd have to be really, 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 I feel really, really dense right now. I'd have to be really, really, really dense to walk away from this place Sunday afternoon without one new thing that I've learned. I'm good at denial, but I ain't that good. So we'll see what happens. Also, I should mention I have a couple of one of my difficulties is being challenged by lupus, and there's a psychiatric component, and I forget, and I get word blockages, so please forgive me. But I mention that in particular right now because it's had me. Since 1985, I've been on a search. That's not true. Since 1998, I've been on a search for my biological relatives. I tried in 1985, but I didn't know I had lupus then. And with all the red tape, I couldn't get anywhere. And I said, screw this. But having been diagnosed with lupus 8 years ago, since 1998, I started looking again, and I found my some biological relatives, and my youngest half-brother is my height and 300 pounds, and my next youngest half-brother is 2 inches taller than I am and is 400 pounds. And I just think that's interesting, that this gigantic spiritual struggle goes on the way is so flagrant in part of my biological family. There's a whole other part I didn't get in touch with yet, but in any case, well, it's part of my journey. Thank you for being here for me.
A couple more, then we're going to close.
close, or are we done? Are we done? All right. Let's have a closing prayer, and then we'll, the next thing for us is meditation at 7:15 with Mike. And don't forget breakfast, 8 o'clock.
Shall we close?
Somebody help me. John, will you read us some closing prayer for your choice?
It's comedy, team.
It wasn't a comedy thing.
No, I know. Third of the prayer.
God, I offer myself to thee, to build with me and to do with me as thou wilt. Relieve me of bondage of self, that I may better do thy will. Take away my difficulties, that victory over them may bear witness to those I would help, of thy power, thy love, and thy way of life. May I do thy will always. Amen. Keep coming back. It works if you work it. It'll work if you work it.
I'm just trying to keep make sure I do this thing, and I.